Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a game that I hope we would never talk about again. It's PUBG, which is PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. For those who don't know, this game was sort of designed by this guy called PlayerUnknown. His online name is PlayerUnknown, but his real name is Brendan Green. So he designed this game to be a battle royale where like 100 people are put on an island and they try to kill each other, and whoever is the last person standing wins the game. Anyway, so this game has been wildly popular on mobile in India, and now this game is coming to PlayStation 4 as well. It's already been on the Xbox, and I think the first platform in which it released was the PC. So to talk about this game and the wonders that it brings and the joys that it adds to everyone's lives, we have Games Editor Rishi Albani.
Yeah, it's been a year since we talked about PUBG on the podcast. I can't believe we're doing it again. I think in December last year we talked about and speculated PUBG coming to Android. So yeah, almost 1 year anniversary of that too. And we also have friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani.
Yeah, we should talk about the most important development in games this quarter, I'd say.
Which is?
Diablo 3 Switch icon got fixed.
Oh yeah, that's like epic.
But yeah, so now let's talk about PlayerUnknown's
Battlegrounds. Yeah, anyway, so I'm your host Pranay Parab and resident hater of PUBG, because this game, I've seen my colleagues, their lives wither away and them fall into depression and go into loneliness, etc.
You're just saying that because they're playing PUBG Mobile instead of doing the work you gave them to do.
Yeah, I mean, not just doing the work I gave them to do, doing the work they're supposed to do. So
What if they're playing it for research?
Yeah, it's possible they're playing it for research.
Yeah, maybe like how long does it take to unlock the kurta is an important thing to write about.
Yeah, maybe they're looking for the Mahindra tractor in the game.
Okay, or the rickshaw.
But yeah, so basically, before we actually talk about the PS4 version of PUBG, what's interesting is when it was announced for Xbox One at E3 that year.
Yeah, last year.
That it was exclusive, console exclusive to Xbox, because obviously it was out on PC and like it was a huge deal that it was coming. And at that time, there was no Battle Royale on console. So Microsoft getting PUBG, which has sold a ton of copies in general. I think it hit 40 or 50 million worldwide across all platforms. Not mobile, but I think the PC and Xbox version has hit that much. And I believe I read something about over 8 million sales on Xbox. But the thing is, it launched in game preview on Xbox on December 10th or December 7th or something like that. And the way things work with Xbox is, like Sony does not have an early access program on paper. They still make exceptions to allow like trash like Ark Survival Evolved and stuff like that into the thing. But PUBG was a console exclusive, and I had speculated a while ago that it's probably going to be exclusive only during the game preview phase. And when it actually hits 1.0 is when the PS4 version will likely happen. Now, what happened after that is, a lot of people kept asking PUBG Corp, and they started asking Microsoft that is this lifetime console exclusive, is it temporary? And all signs and all replies pointed to it being just on Xbox as a console, and it can be on PC and mobile. What happened with E3 this year, when PUBG was shown off and they announced, like, you know, it's hitting 1.0 and all that, it went from console exclusive to console launch exclusive. That basically means that the console launch is exclusive to Xbox, and it can come anywhere else. The retail copy which released in India, which I bought, also says console launch exclusive. So I was 100% sure that it was going to come to PS4 at some point this year. And yeah, that's what's happening. It's coming like almost a year after the Xbox early access or game preview launch. It's hitting PS4 as a full game directly. No game preview, no early access. And yeah, before getting into more details about PUBG, what was interesting about E3 is they said the same thing for Cuphead.
Yeah, so in fact, actually, we didn't actually have to wait until seeing the sign change to console exclusive, because in an interview last year, PUBG Core's CEO, Changhan Kim, was talking to a South Korean website called InVen Global. And he actually said that, and I quote, "I'd like PUBG to become a universal media franchise based on the game. We want to take it in a diverse industries, including esports, movies, drama, cartoons, animation, and more. In fact, we've received a number of calls from developers in Hollywood and Netflix. Our team, our dream is to build a new game-based culture through various ways like this and have the lead of that culture." And he also talked about Sony's adherence to quality in that interview as well, going as far as to say, and I quote, "As it's going to be an exclusive title for on Xbox One for some time, we'd like to focus on completing the Xbox One PUBG for now. if we have the opportunity, the final goal would be to launch the title on every platform. Which basically means if you're holding out for a Switch port of PUBG, you might be in luck.
So obviously, like, this was the thing. I mean, you all reported on this as well on Gadgets360. But when it says console launch exclusive at Microsoft's E3 conference, it's the first time they've acknowledged it as a timed exclusive is what I meant.
Yep.
With Cuphead, everyone thought it was like, it basically seemed like it was funded by Microsoft in some form. They definitely marketed it. It's a fantastic game. I love it. And while honestly, I couldn't care less if it shows up on PS4 or not, I need Cuphead on Switch. But yeah, so PUBG on Switch, if we look at what happened with Fortnite and some other games, it'll probably be based on the mobile version because it would be easier and the architecture similar to that. And that's actually going to be funny because if PUBG Mobile comes to Switch, it'll actually be the most polished console version of PUBG.
Oh yeah, I agree. And more importantly, we hopefully could see crossplay being a thing as well between at least Android, iOS and Switch.
I don't see that happening because Android hackers.
That's also there.
Because Arena of Valor is its own thing and PUBG will have enough of a player base to sustain its own population on Switch. But yeah, that's what might likely happen and I hope it happens because having PUBG Mobile's polish and performance with proper controls would be really good because you can't really do any of that officially on PUBG Mobile right now, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah, in fact, they've been... it's reached a point where I was talking to a few peripheral manufacturers yesterday and they were telling me that, that they're having issues with their controllers because, the players keep getting banned for using them. So it would be nice to see some official form of, controller support. That being said, there's been a lot of speculation that the PUBG PS4 version may end up being the most polished version of the game. A lot of it also stems from PUBG Core's comments in the past, where they've stated that Sony's been very strict about pre-release and early access content, and there's a lot more focus on getting a polished product out. But Mike, what do you think is going to happen there?
I'm a little unsure about it being the most polished. It might run the best or run the most stable, I'd say, for 30 FPS and all that, because with the Xbox One X, which I bought recently, PUBG is a mess on it. Like, it just does not run well at all consistently. And like, playing the mobile version and going to this now, while this obviously looks better because it looks really nice on the Xbox One X, they're going for native 4K. I wish they'd like drop it a bit just so they could hit like stable 30, but yeah, the performance is very erratic. Now, it's not as terrible as Fallout 76, but we'll get to that in a bit. Changmin Lee, the PS4 engineering lead for PUBG, he posted, like, they have a quote from him on the PlayStation blog where they announced the PS4 version, and I quote, "It's always exciting and tense presenting our work to the players as a developer. Getting our game into the hands of the PS4 community that haven't experienced PUBG is a thrill equal to creating a new game. Everyone on the PS4 dev team have worked passionately on every single moment of the game to create a perfect experience for our players. We hope you all enjoy the journey on getting a chicken dinner." Now, it's possible that all the stuff they learned while porting it to the Xbox version, and if y'all remember the Xbox version, they actually got help from the Coalition for the Gears of War developers. So, PUBG is obviously in a much more mature state now. Granted, there are like a lot of loot box and microtransaction related drama which is happening, which people are not happy about, like the Suicide Squad skins, which are like straight up $25 each for things that look pretty terrible. But as a game, it has now 3 maps. The 4th map is also going to come soon, which is the snow map, I believe. Vikendi, I think, is the name. So I think it's going to be more polished than it was on Xbox maybe a few months ago, but compared to Xbox right now remains to be seen. What's also surprising is PUBG on Xbox and on PC is available at $30, or in India, I think it's 1999 or 999.
Less,
depending.
We've seen it go as low as 1600 rupees on disc.
Oh yeah, so officially it's supposed to be $30 worldwide. In India, it launched at 2199 on disc MRP, but it's available at 1700 almost everywhere, GTS, Amazon, whatever. It actually comes with some extra cosmetics also on disc. But on PlayStation 4, the disc release, which we likely expect to show up in India because it's being distributed by Sony. So this is going to be the first game since Minecraft where Microsoft distributes the Xbox version and Sony distributes the PS4 version. And the disc or base version of PUBG is supposed to be $30 in the US. That's how much it costs on disc. In India, going by PSN's pricing, the base game is $2,750. The edition above that, which should be a little more expensive, which is called the Survivor's Digital Edition, is also 2750 in India, which might either be a price mistake or the base edition is more expensive to match the disc price, which is what some developers do. The Survivor's Digital Edition includes the base game Vikendi Event Pass, which is basically like the, what's the thing called
Battle
in Fortnite?
Pass.
I've forgotten.
Battle Pass.
Battle Pass, yeah. It's the equivalent to that with progression and you get cosmetic rewards. It has 2300 G coins, which is the premium currency, and it has 20,000 BP, which is the non-premium currency which you earn through playing the game. The $399 or $60 edition abroad, which is $399 on PSN in India, which is the Champions edition, is the exact same except it has 6,000 G coin instead of 2300 G coin. The base game, which is going to be on disc, is like, yeah, just the base game. We believe it'll show up over here. We also believe it'll be 2750 or 2499 because that's how much Sony prices these things at.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. Also, keep in mind that while Sony has dropped the ball on certain niche releases in India, such as Everybody's Golf and Tetris Effect.
I wouldn't really call Tetris Effect niche because it's like they're promoting it to hell and back abroad. It's like an exclusive for now. It's a Tetris game. And Tetris is like not a small thing. Granted, okay, like people look at it as a puzzle game. But yeah, the way Sony's marketing it in the US and Europe, it's pretty surprising that it's not over here because they are marketing Tetris Effect more than they did Hot Shots, Everybody's Golf and Gravity Rush combined.
Yep. But that being said, if you're holding off a PUBG PS4 on disc, as of this recording, we strongly believe it's going to show up. Now, since we've talked about the development period, since we talked about the pricing, I believe that PUBG is out on December 7th.
Yes.
And there's another game that's also out on December 7th. Super Smash Brothers, Switch.
See, I told you it's a port. But yeah, and like December 7th, December 4th are very interesting because... like everyone's just getting out their releases by December 7th or December 10th because like Christmas season and holidays and then New Year, no one releases stuff over there for the most part. So like December 4th has Just Cause 4, which like whatever, good luck to anyone after seeing Tomb Raider's price drop soon after. December 4th also has Persona Dancing 3, Persona Dancing 5 and the bundle Persona The Endless Night Collection, which has 3, 4 and 5 dancing games. And yeah, December 7th is Katamari Damacy Reroll, which is the remaster for Switch and Super Smash Brothers, and yeah, PUBG on PS4 now. So yeah, interesting times.
Yeah, so the editions that are in India for PUBG PS4.
So it's just the disc edition is just going to be the standard, and as I already mentioned earlier, that
there's no collector's edition.
No, there's no collector's edition for PUBG.
Yeah, there is. It's called you buy PUBG on disc, and then you also pick up a non-stick frying pan. And then, if you want to go full, authentic, you go to your local market and pick up a chicken.
Okay. Also, yeah. Then you go to a really dangerous place and then try and get shot and see if the frying pan protects you.
Yeah. So basically, Delhi. Now, jokes and lulls aside, so sadly, there is no collector's edition.
In fact, the only merchandise which exists for PUBG in the US at least is like tied up with Xbox, where they have some licensed stuff. They have a controller also, which as of now is not coming to India officially, the PUBG controller.
Yeah.
And there are some partners where there literally is a replica frying pan for PUBG, like licensed, but you cannot use it as a frying pan.
Yeah, so what's the point? Why would anyone want a replica frying pan when you can just buy a perfectly good frying pan?
Like, I don't know.
That boggles the mind. It's a frying pan. It's a utility.
So yeah, like that's now a lot of, I've been looking at comments for the PUBG YouTube video trailer and on the PlayStation blog because whenever these big exclusives from each side go to the other platform, the comments are always hilarious. And a lot of the sentiment I've seen is like it's too late and it's too expensive. It should be free to play or something like that. Now, while you have a lot of stuff on PS4 in terms of Battle Royales, you have Blackout, which is the most expensive, but it's also the most polished one. You have Fortnite, which is not like a traditional Battle Royale. It has building and stuff. It's free. It's also very, very popular. And it's also getting a retail release with a code in box.
And you also have H1Z1.
Yeah, H1Z1, which is also doing really well. Now, like, since I mentioned Fortnite's Deep Freeze bundle, if you're buying it in India, the Switch and PS4 versions are code in box. They need to match your account region. So if on PS4 or Switch you use a US account, the code will not work for you and the items will not appear. If you're on Xbox One, as you know, Fortnite is not available in India officially. We'll link to that story and Epic's comment on that. It is releasing on India on disc, going by the US unboxing of it. It has a disc, so this might be your only way to play Fortnite on Xbox in India officially.
Highly unlikely, though, that it would make it here on disc. Though, as far as we know, I mean, from what we've heard, there's a good chance it might not make it at all.
No, it's coming.
Oh, it has.
Yes.
There we go. So as of this recording, guys, all
as of this
versions,
recording, Fortnite on Xbox is coming to India, and we've been told it's on a disc. So yeah basically, and it might be like very limited quantity, as with most Xbox games in India. But yeah, that's the thing. Now, people wanting it to be free to play, that just wasn't going to happen, because regardless of how popular Fortnite is, PUBG in India is a lot bigger thanks to just the prevalence of PUBG Mobile. Like, it's just a massive brand, I'd say.
I don't think it's just because of PUBG Mobile. I mean, that's selling it short. Because if you've, since PUBG's inception on PC back in March of last year, it's been at the top of the charts.
I don't mean, in terms of, like, in that sense. I just mean that while discussion around Fortnite seems to be slowly dying in India because not many people are mentioning, PUBG is something you hear about everywhere. So as a brand, PUBG is much bigger than Fortnite in India.
Yeah, it is a bigger brand.
So
but
that's why it's going to help with this. In fact, I think PUBG on disc will sell way better than Fortnite, and that's not even taking into account that one is a code and one is a disc.
I mean, yeah, so there's a lot of reasons for it also. So what I did as an experiment was I gave one of our phone editors, Royden, I gave him Fortnite to play on Android, and his first response is, dude, what's this building mechanic? What is this building nonsense? I don't understand this. And that's a general sentiment around or with most casual players, right? They don't understand the building mechanic of Fortnite, and that turns them off. Plus, the fact that Fortnite's cartoonish aspects of gameplay, the cartoony aesthetic doesn't exactly gel too well with Indian audiences. So which is why they gravitate more towards PUBG. PUBG is simpler to play, easier to get into. And Pranay and I have seen firsthand the ill effects of the PUBG Mobile addiction firsthand.
Yeah, so you know, you start playing these games to like relax a bit, to unwind and all that, and after a point you realize that you've gotten so much into it that it's actually become a stressful activity.
That's what in fact that's a very interesting point you bring out, Pranay, because I frankly believe that you play games not because you want to unwind. I mean, while your thought process might be just to unwind, what actually happens is a very different story depending on the game. Now, I agree completely with PUBG Mobile because, and PUBG in general, it's not a game you play to relax. If you go into that mentality, yeah, you're gonna find yourself sucked in into a world of tense hurt. And that's the case with most multiplayer games. I think the only exception to the rule, two exceptions to the rules in my experience have been Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch, because it's a casual thing, it's super chill, you know, everyone's playing for fun, so it has that
as
vibe.
As long as you don't play ranked in
Overwatch. As long as you don't play ranked in Overwatch, it's got that chill vibe going for it. And it's the same with Team Fortress 2. I mean, whenever we used to play it, it used to be on PCs with mics and we'd actually be communicating through the game and it'd be fun, it'd just be a fun thing to do. But with PUBG, because of the fact that it's each man for himself, because it's got the whole Battle Royale vibe going for it, it becomes a more tense experience. And the fact that it's a realistic looking game compared to Fortnite,
yes,
further adds it. So yeah, I mean, I agree completely in terms of mindset. What you want and what you actually get are two very diverse things. I think there's a greater chance of people actually chilling out if they're playing something like, I don't know, Pokemon Go or Ludo instead.
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, what I've noticed is with PUBG now, a bunch of people like in office who are playing, they all have like voice chat enabled and they're all shouting at each other, hey, he's shooting you, just hide somewhere. And like, you know, they get really like worked up over it.
Yep.
It sucks like your productivity down the drain.
Yep.
Entirely. And you know, once you get into it, there is no end to it. It's like one of those, you know, addictive core loops in this game.
And the games are pretty long as well. It's not like, you know, one of those. It's
yeah, but
not
I
like,
believe on mobile there is a mode that lets you finish a game within 5 minutes.
So
right?
The thing is, the main mode is not that mode.
Yeah.
So like, you know, there are a ton of games which are nice for pick up and play, like when you're sort of traveling or something, you can just start a game and whatever. PUBG is like, I've seen a lot of people play it. I still see a lot of people play it consistently every day. But like, given how terrible cellular coverage is and network in like Mumbai, at least in most parts, like, you know, it just switches from 4G to 3G. You get disconnected immediately. Stuff like that. So like, good luck to people playing this like not on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? Most of the playing seems to happen on Wi-Fi or on stable 4G. But then I mean, if you come back to the mindset and how this also ties into the PS4 version is, it's the same mindset. You may be thinking, okay, this is a chill game to play, or you may be jumping into this because it's popular and, you know, might expect something. But the end result is a very tense experience, and that's how the game's been designed. That's how it's been built. I mean, it's the same core loop I've seen since Counter-Strike 1.3. So except obviously elongated over a 20-minute period, rather than Counter-Strike where you die really fast. So
yeah, that's true. So, you know, while I do understand why people get into this game, it's like incredibly addictive and all, there has to be like some limit to how much you play. Otherwise, you know, it's become the new Counter-Strike or the new FIFA.
Except,
where, you know.
Yeah, I agree. And but the worst part is, at least with Counter-Strike and FIFA, while you had a cadence of updates that that slowed down in a relatively quicker period of time, here the game seems to be going from strength to strength. I mean, for example, I still can't believe PUBG is still relevant a year after its release.
Yeah, that's what, right? So,
I definitely
thought that, you know, because the game was PC only, the fever would die. But ever since it hit mobile, I think that was a very good move for them.
Yeah, it gave it a second lease of life, because the hype around the PC version died around earlier this year. I mean, after it 1.0 and, you know, after they ironed out a few bugs. I mean, don't get me wrong, the PC version is still extremely popular. I mean, in India, it's still one of the most popular games.
Yeah, but then access to PCs is not that popular,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. So. Like, it's reached a point where the laptops that sell the most are the laptops which have the cheapest NVIDIA GTX 1060. So anything 60, 70 grand, your minimum is what you're paying. Yeah, so the entry barrier is higher.
Hmm.
But it's had a second lease of life and with mobile. And I think with the PS4 version, it still remains relevant. And if you think about it from just a strategy of, you know, staying in the public eye and staying relevant, I think it's very smart that they staggered out releases.
Yeah, and then the Switch version will come later, and then again, you know, people will get into it on that platform.
But then, and it actually brings us to the next thing, right? I mean, suppose you've played PUBG Mobile, and this is your first shot at playing PUBG on the PS4, they're very different games. Let's make that very clear. They might look similar, but they're very different. The gameplay aspects on mobile are a lot easier. Aiming's a lot easier. Looting enemies is a lot easier. Shooting's a lot easier. Even like the basic elements of you know, getting into a game is a lot easier to navigate because mobile simplifies things. So that's another thing to keep in mind if you're jumping in. Oh yeah, and by the way, your progress on mobile does not carry over to the PS4 version. That's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah, I mean, tough luck, but you know, this is how the world works.
Yeah, it's a very weird scene because every other publisher and developer is already looking at crossplay, looking at cross progression, but that doesn't seem to be possible with PUBG because the PC and console versions are handled by PUBG Core while the mobile version is handled by Tencent.
Yeah.
And they're obviously two different companies. And while Tencent has a stake in PUBG Core, well, yeah, it's not like there's going to be any cross-progression data that travels across anytime soon.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so I think we're ready to talk about the games we've been playing this week. I hope it's not PUBG. So I didn't play any game once again. I don't know when I'll be back to gaming. You know, my life is hell, etc. Rishi, why don't you start?
So, this is why you should buy a Switch.
Exactly.
It fixes everything.
No, it doesn't. I mean, most things, but yeah.
I have a Switch. Lots of Switches around me.
Oh, no.
This is why you don't play anything. Oh, and this is why we're going to talk about PUBG and Fortnite forever.
Leave.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been playing Fallout 76. Yeah.
Country roads take me home to a better game.
Yeah.
That's where we belong.
Pretty much. Man, I don't know what to say. I thought the beta was bad. And yeah, the beta was bad.
But the game is the beta.
I wouldn't even call it that. I would say like the game is... Look, I try to see what Bethesda's trying to do with this. They're trying to do a Fallout meets Destiny, but they end up creating a really, really buggy game. So, basic stuff, right? Achievements don't unlock. Your main quest...
That's only if you've transferred progress from the beta.
Yeah, which is what I did. When
I didn't transfer progress, but everything unlocked normally.
Yeah, so basic things.
We're both playing it on Xbox One
X. Yeah,
we're
playing both on One X. Achievements don't unlock. Mainline quests don't show up in the map. I actually reached a point where all the main quests disappeared and I actually had to Google what to do next in 2018. This is video games. And on top of that, like basic, small basic things, right? Like the polish. I'm not even expecting the greatest degree of polish because it's a Bethesda game that's not made by Arkane or Machine Games. It's a Bethesda Game Studios game. So you know you're going to have a janky experience, right? But then even small basic things like transitioning from first person to third person, like when you're tooling around with a workshop and, you know, trying to repair an item, that transition is super janky. Like the background, which is, you know, the woods, the trees, foliage, houses, they all like take a second to pop in when you're transitioning from first person to third person when you're like, you know, trying to repair an item. Basic stuff is missing. The frame rate goes for a toss when you have more than a couple of enemies on screen. When you have more than a couple of human players on screen, it goes for a toss. even like the gunplay is a little better. It's a little better than compared to Fallout 4, which is okay, small blessings. But the hand-to-hand combat, the melee combat, because you get some really cool items. You get like a flaming pitchfork, man, which is pretty cool. You get like you can create serrated baseball bats and stuff like that. But the point is, it feels really janky. It feels like I'm playing Morrowind. It doesn't feel like I'm playing Fallout. It feels really, really loose, really janky. It doesn't even feel like Skyrim combat.
Morrowind actually runs and looks really good on the Xbox One X now after the patch.
Like after years, like 10 years or 20 years almost. But that's my point. It's just, I mean, I get it. Bethesda games are known to be unpolished. But this is like pushing it, man.
Yeah, I mean, so have you tried that nuking thing yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I think I'm like around 15 hours in or around that much.
I'm like just 4 hours in right
and,
now.
And I'm getting my hands on power armor, messing around, doing side quests, doing the events. It's a lot of fun to explore. And what the game does well is that it gives you a ton of items. So you're never short of items. You're never short of stim packs.
In fact, it's the opposite. Like, run out of inventory space super quick, and then you have to figure out what to do and all.
So it's really good that way. There's a good gentle curve where that's concerned. There are some things which like pull you out of the experience. Like you're because it's a survival take on Fallout, you have meters for thirst and hunger. Now that to me really like jars the experience on occasion. And obviously the progression system differs. Instead of like, you know, adding experience, adding points to the stuff like charisma and intelligence, you have cards which you can swap in and out at any time, which is cool, but it just doesn't feel as organic a process. It doesn't feel like you're growing your character in a specific path.
Yeah, some of this reminds me of GTA San Andreas, where if you ate too much, you became fat and you had to exercise to stay fit.
Yeah, so here it's not about eating too much and becoming fat. It's more like eating too much and if it's radioactive stuff, you may get mutations.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. But what really, really, really bugs me about this game is it. I mean, I get it that the intent is to show a post-apocalyptic wasteland, but it's no fun to play a post-apocalyptic wasteland when there are literally there are no NPCs.
It's all just recordings which you hear through holotapes and stuff like that. And like, you know, when you mention Destiny 2, or at least Destiny, Destiny 2 had like a very short, but it had a campaign with some stuff where you actually got some time to do things. How Fallout 76 handles it is, you have like 10 minutes where you're in the opening, where you're in the vault, and once you get out, that's it. The game begins. The tutorials are pretty sparse. You have to actually explore and do stuff, and there are other people there. Now, as far as I know, they can't shoot you unless you are at level 5 or above. That's when PvP gets enabled.
Yeah, so when you hit level 5 and people shoot you, you don't take as much damage until you shoot back. When you things get real and you get into combat.
The system is a little weird where suppose someone's trying to shoot you and you're not interested in engaging with them, you start taking less damage, but you can die. And if that happens, there's a bounty placed on them where other players can try and kill them to get like rewards. So that's their... There's no way of actually disabling other players in the game right now, even though they said you can play it single player. And I believe private servers are coming later on or something. But right now, you just get put into a world with other people. Now, they might attack you, they might not attack you. You can't say anything right now. And I had a lot of situations where like in one of the second main story missions, only when you're supposed to go to a common hub world, I'd call it to be vague to avoid spoilers, while running to that, the game literally froze for a second, like, you know, kind of like a zero FPS thing in Fallout 4 in that Digital Foundry video. That happened.
Are you sure it was not photo mode?
No. Photo mode, it takes like 3 buttons to get to photo mode. It's not that easy. And then after that, like some of the enemies which attacked, like they were floating in the air and all. It felt like the ground was lifted for them, but not for me like that. Yeah. And it like, compared to whatever I've played of Fallout 4, because I've not played much, like I think only 4 hours or something, this has better lighting, and some of the foliage is a little denser, I'd say. But other than that, yeah, this is like, you know, switching to this after RDR2.
I mean, like, it's not even a question of RDR2, right? Like, even if you compare it to their past efforts, like Fallout 4, there doesn't seem to be that much of a leap. And more importantly in all of this is, look, there are enemies in the game. You face off against Deathclaws. You face off against these scorched human beings, imaginatively
the
called
astonishing
scorchers.
Mutations of Fallout 76.
Yeah, and you fight some really cool enemies, but then it just feels so barren and empty. And even when you've teamed up with 3-4 other people, it just feels like an empty world. And a lot of it is because there are no NPCs. And I mean, I get it. You want to show off a desolate post-apocalyptic wasteland, But if it's not fun, why would anyone come back? I mean, to be honest with you, this is the kind of game where unless Bethesda make a ton of changes and are talking drastic rehaul,
we're going to need an Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited situation to happen over here. Because like, I've been thinking about it. If, you know, like I really enjoy playing No Man's Sky. There are people who really enjoy playing Sea of Thieves. If there are people who want to do one of these, like have one of those experiences over here in a post-apocalyptic wasteland or whatever, they might find that in Fallout 76. But the thing is, regardless of how No Man's Sky and Sea of Thieves were at launch, this is way worse in terms of how buggy it is and in terms of performance stuff. Like in Sea of Thieves, I had a ton of issues where the network just couldn't hold up when you like teamed up in a ship with 3-4 other people. It used to just stutter and teleport. Over here, that's happening with like 2 other people, not even like 4 or 5 on like the high seas or something in like the opening area.
And also keep in mind, at least Sea of Thieves, the core mechanics, no matter how few they were exceptionally polished. So shooting felt great, you know.
And it looked fantastic.
Yeah, it looked fantastic. Shooting felt great. Frame rate for most part felt stable. Even regular hand-to-hand combat had a nice weight and feel to it. Even the very basic elements of, you know, sailing on the high seas felt good.
At launch, it, like, obviously, like, it wasn't, it's a completely different game now with how much they've added and all. No Man's Sky is the same, like, it got a big relaunch on Xbox One and it called No Man's Sky Next, and they've been adding more stuff since then. So I can see there's might be an audience for this, but then it's just so unpolished right now. It's actually shocking that this released at full price.
Yeah, and I mean, to be honest, I'm a little disturbed because it's very obvious the way Bethesda went around pushing this game. They were trying to recapture what they did with Fallout 4, wherein you announce a game prior to E3, you have a big reveal at E3, have another reveal at Gamescom, have a press event right after, have a beta and just roll it out. You know, they're masters at mastering that, at shipping something out, of announcing and shipping something out in that 6-month time frame. But fact of the matter is, it's
Fallout 3 all over again.
No, I mean, Fallout 3 was good. Fallout 3 was...
The PC version was, like, quite buggy,
still,
wasn't
no,
it?
See, the thing is, the good thing with Fallout 3 was they focused on the right aspects. Mm. So, the first... And they focused on very... I like the fact that with Fallout 3, and to an extent, even New Vegas and Fallout 4, they focus on certain aspects of the game that felt meaningful. So, with Fallout 3, to me, the coolest thing they did was show off the Megaton mission. And that became a talking point, right? You'd wonder whether you blew up Megaton or not.
Yeah, I played it much after release and it still remains my favorite Fallout game.
Yeah, and I know, and that's the thing, right? Like, here, it just seems like the focus is, okay, social play with friends, explore the world, blah, blah, blah. Okay, oh, you can also play solo, that's great. But it doesn't come together as well. And see, the point is, this was a standalone Fallout game, single player Fallout experience with the NPCs, with the quests. It'll actually be a pretty fun way to play. But because you've decided to go online, it puts it against a whole host of different games. You're up against stuff like Destiny 2, which is exceedingly polished at this stage. You're up against stuff like
Don't even forget the free stuff, nah? Like, yeah, like Warframe is there.
Yeah, you're up against stuff like Warframe, which
is
tremendous.
And what about that other game which is like really hardcore? EVE Online, is it?
Yeah. Forget EVE Online. You're even up against stuff like Final Fantasy 14.
Yes.
And that is next level in terms of polish. Even World of Warcraft. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't seem to hold a candle to it. And I mean, as Mike said, the only way I see this being relevant, I mean, even a couple of months down the line, is if there is a drastic rehaul. And it also makes me wonder, what's the point of even releasing something this half-baked to begin with?
And speaking of half-baked, if you buy the disc release, you need to keep in mind 3 things. One, it's always online as expected. The second thing, which is not advertised online anywhere, and you'll actually see this when you look at a physical copy, you need Xbox Gold or PlayStation Plus at all times. You cannot play this without that. So you need to be online, PlayStation Plus or Xbox Gold required. Third thing, approximately 50 GB patch already. You cannot, and since this is an online game, you cannot play it without patching it. So yeah, put the disc in, you're going to be downloading between 40 and 50 GB depending on the console. And it's likely going to get more patches. I mean, going by the beta, it received 2 45 GB patches, which had you re-downloading the whole thing. So I'm not looking forward to like wasting 45 GB or 50 GB on this, at least for the foreseeable future. I'm going to keep playing it and all just to see what happens and all. But yeah, just is very disappointing because I kind of expected better.
Yeah, I mean, I, and again, this is us expecting better. despite liking past Bethesda efforts like Fallout 4, 3, Fallout 4,
I mean,
Skyrim.
Like, I play Skyrim on Xbox 360 where the game bugged out and the bounty hunter kept like attacking me for 15 hours and she had unlimited health at the time and all. That's all fine. That was nothing compared to what has happened in Fallout 76. It's just like, just seriously, like, how is this a full price game?
Yeah. So anything else you've been playing?
Now, good games. Hitman 2. Really, really good.
Mumbai level slums.
Like, not a fan of the voice acting over there. It basically, like, it sounds like Appu all over again.
Yeah, but let's not get into that.
Yeah, but the thing about the voice acting in Hitman 2 is it's an improvement over Hitman 2016 because they didn't just hire, or at least everyone doesn't sound the same. At least, like, they've gone for slightly different accent depending on the location. So far, I think Miami is the best location, just like Sapienza was in the original Hitman. And I keep mentioning the original Hitman. If you've never played that, when you get Hitman 2, you can actually pay a little more and get all the Hitman 1 levels in Hitman 2.
Yeah.
And have the best Hitman experience.
Yeah, but
yes,
come
I'll say Hitman again.
But come on, man. Like, you can't carry over progress from the previous game to this one, right?
Yeah, they changed the mechanics, right?
Yeah.
They've added more stuff, so no progress. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, but still, it's a bit unfortunate. Like, you know, those who bought the original game and are buying this, they shouldn't have to, like, you know, do this workaround, pay extra to carry the progress.
No, you
over.
Don't have to pay extra if you bought the first game. Everything
then
is free.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Then they get a free pass.
If you bought the first game, it's free. Yeah. But like, yeah, they've added new mechanics and all. It runs really well. Looks fantastic on the Xbox One X. But in the Mumbai slums, the frame rate tanks when you start, like, when a lot of people are in the same area. And I noticed this in another level also. The frame rate just tanks randomly when not, like, a lot of stuff doesn't seem to be happening. So, yeah. What about you?
Well, basically Fallout 76.
Yeah, I mean, he's played 15 hours of that, man. I think I'll give him a pass on that.
Take me home, country road.
And we will be talking about Persona 3 dancing in Moonlight and Persona 5 dancing in Starlight in the future.
Yeah.
But more important than Fallout 76, another game released on Xbox One via backward compatibility. She has returned. Rishi, are you ready? So yeah, as announced that Microsoft's XO18 of FF13, FF13 2 and Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13 were made backward compatible with Xbox One X enhanced patches. And while, like, regardless of how the game is, very impressed with the patch, but this is the first time they've actually managed getting different assets to use upgraded assets for the Xbox One X version, which is pretty interesting. So the game size has ballooned from like 16 GB on the Xbox to 30 GB on the One X.
Yeah, I mean, that's thing. Like a standard feature of One X, right? Any game you get on it.
No. The One X, what it does is every game just runs better because it has more resources. But for this, the Xbox One X patch is one aspect, but they actually managed getting higher quality cutscenes which weren't there in the Xbox 360 version.
And what's even interesting is that I think they've probably even had a heads up over the PC version of the game, which doesn't have proper 4K
yet. PC version is a very bad port of FF13. It's also a very big download, but the thing with the PC version is it uses cutscenes around PS3 or slightly lower quality. The PS3 had the advantage of being on Blu-ray at the time, while the Xbox, like, it's a 3-disc DVD game on Xbox 360. So when you put in the first disc, it straight up tells you need to download a 31 GB update, which is how Xbox handles backward compatibility. So yeah, like, I basically played like 2 hours of the game on Xbox, on PS3 and 360. Let's see how much I end up playing of this. But at least one thing's for sure, regardless of how the game is, the music just like shits all over FF15. So yeah.
So I think that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we'll see you with another episode next week. In the meantime, do follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you use any app to listen to podcasts such as Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, please do rate us, review us, subscribe to this podcast. These things help us a lot. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Olai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. And if you have any questions, comments and feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. Thank you so much for listening.